We have come to one of the 12 principal forests of Brajbhumi, Bilvavan. According to Bhakti Ratnakar, Krishna, Balaram and Gopas would come here and eat the very sweet Bilva fruits that were growing on the trees and play many sportive leelas. This is also the place that Lakshmi Devi performed years of tapasya to enter into the Madhurya Leela of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained the significance of this place in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Before giving the microphone to Dinabandhu Prabhu to enthrall your hearts with his divine ecstasies, I would like to speak a few words with your permission, Prabhu.
Yes, of course. No, you speak permission.
During Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India, he came to the Kaveri River. He took his bath. Then on an island within various branches of Kaveri, he went to see the temple of Ranganath in Srirangam or Rangakshetra. He danced in ecstatic love before the Lord. Many thousands of people, upon seeing his beautiful golden form dancing and dancing and dancing, they all loudly chanted the holy names and danced with him. At that time, one Brahmin, who was a very pure devotee within the sampradaya of Sri or Lakshmi Devi, his name was Venkata Bhatt. He invited Lord Chaitanya to come to his home. When the Lord came to his home, he washed the Lord's lotus feet and took that water and sprinkled it on all of his family members. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see his pure devotion. He made an appeal to the Lord that the Chaturmasya rainy season is just beginning. It is not appropriate for a sannyasi to travel during this time. You should stay here in my home. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the sincere and humble affection of Venkata Bhatta, actually agreed to stay. He had as little child as the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya. That little child was named Gopal Bhatt. He later became Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day would take his bath at Kaveri. He would have darshan of Sri Ranganath. And he would have many, many very deep philosophical talks with Venkata Bhatt and his two brothers, Prabodhananda Saraswati at Tirumala Bhatt, Trimala Bhatt. During that time, there was one Brahmin. The Brahmin was not learned. Every day he would read Bhagavad Gita in one of the courtyards of the Ranganath temple. Now at that time, Srirangam was the capital for the Ramanuj Sampradaya. The greatest scholars of South India would make their bases there. Very, very learned Sanskrit pundits. They would sometimes joke and sometimes even criticize this simple Brahman. Every single day he would sit in the courtyard of the temple and read all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita without fail. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to see him. As he was reading, there were tears in his eyes and his hairs were standing on end. Lord Chaitanya inquired from him, "What is bringing you such ecstatic love?" The Brahman said that, "I am illiterate. I read, but I do not know whether I'm reading correct or incorrect. Sometimes the pronunciation is right and sometimes it is all wrong. But my spiritual master ordered me to read Bhagavad Gita, all 18 chapters every day. So I must obey his order." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that realizing the essence of the scriptures does not at all depend upon our scholarship. Scholarship certainly is very helpful, but the real understanding is based on how we make the order of the spiritual master our life and soul. Yasya devi para bhaktiya. One who has implicit faith in Guru and his orders and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the imports of the Vedas are automatically revealed by Krishna. The scriptures are spoken by Krishna. They are none different than Krishna. And the real understanding can only be revealed according to our sincerity. Because this Brahman had such sincerity to just carry out the instruction of his spiritual master, even though he did it in a way that was being criticized and ridiculed, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him. Lord Chaitanya asked him, "What is it in the Gita that is bringing you such joy?" He said, "I don't understand so much what I'm reading, but I have this picture within my heart. There is Krishna, who is so beautiful. He has a complexion like a black monsoon rain cloud. He's sitting on the chariot, holding the reins of the horses for his devotee Arjuna. When I think of the beauty of the form of Lord Krishna, it brings such inner joy to my heart. In fact, I cannot think of anything else. It is only that form of Krishna that appears within my heart when I read Gita." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased. He began to cry. He embraced the Brahman and extolled with great happiness, "Whatever you know constitutes the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita." When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, that Brahman, his heart became inundated with ecstatic love of Krishna. The Brahman could then understand, by the Lord's mercy, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to him this opulence and told the Brahman not to speak anything to anyone about what he has revealed to him. For the next 4 months, that simple, illiterate Brahman was the constant associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Balabh Venkata Bhat, they were very, very friendly. Lord Chaitanya was so impressed to see his pure devotion to Lakshmi and Narayan. And sometimes they would joke together. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Venkata Bhat, that your Lakshmi Devi, she is the goddess of fortune, and she is eternally situated on the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. And she is the most chaste of all ladies in the entire creation. However, my Lord is Krishna. He's a simple cowherd boy. Why is it? Can you tell me why Lakshmi wants to associate with Krishna? Why she has left Vaikuntha in all of its opulences and all of its happiness, and she has left the Supreme Lord Narayan to perform severe austerities, taking vows and following strict regulative principles because she wants to be with my little cowherd boy, Krishna. Venkata Bhav replied, "There is no fault with my goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, because after all, Krishna and Narayan are one and the same Supreme Person. Of course she likes to be with Krishna, because although they are one, the Supreme Person, Krishna's pastimes are very sportive. They're very sweet, and they're very attractive. So there is no fault for my Lakshmi to want to be with her husband in another form." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Yes, I know there is no fault, but she could not enter the Rasleela. She came here to Vrindavan, and she performed severe austerities and prayers to enter into the Rasleela, but she was not given admittance. Why? Tell me, Venkata Bhatta, why was Lakshmi not allowed to enter into the Rasleela of my Lord Krishna, although the personified Vedas, they were given entrance into the Rasleela?" There is a story that near the beginning of creation, from the body of the Lord came the personified Vedas. And they were at the island on the ocean of milk, praying to the Lord in Svetadvip by chanting Vedic hymns with pure devotion. And the Lord actually appeared to them. And he asked, "I will fulfill whatever you desire because you are worshipping me with love." They said, "We want to see your supreme form." So he revealed the abode of Vrindavan, where he was Tribhanga, Shamsundar, in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. And there he saw him, under the Kadamba trees, Tamal trees, near the banks of Jamuna, having dances with gopis. Personified Vedas prayed that we want to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. We want to worship you and love you like them. Lord Krishna told them that you have to be absolutely pure in heart to enter into that leela. In the next day of Brahma, when I appear at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, you will appear in the family of gopis, and your desires will be fulfilled. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu challenged Venkata Bhatta. Why personified Vedas, great sages, they were allowed to enter into Rasleela, but Lakshmi remained sitting, forbidden to come in? Venkata Bhatta became very much confused. He said, "My Lord, I am just an ordinary human being. I am ignorant. But you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please explain it to me. These high mystical subject matters are impossible to understand unless you give your mercy. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that only by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet called Brajaloka can one enter into the sweet pastimes of Lord Krishna. Because the personified Vedas humble themselves to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, they were given entrance into Krishna's Rasa-lila. However, the goddess of fortune, she wanted to enter into the Rasa-lila, but at the same time, she wanted to retain her own spiritual body of Lakshmi. She was not willing to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. The Lord said in Vrindavan, everyone loves Krishna, but no one is aware that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some love him as a child. Sometimes his mother binds him with rope to a grinding mortar. And some love him as a friend, and they climb on his shoulders and ride on him. In Vrindavan, nobody knows him as the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Almighty Controller of all controllers. They only know him as Brajendra Nandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Their love is pure. Their love is unconditional. And it is spontaneous. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Narayan is his opulent form. He quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chang Shakalam Bhunsha, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That there are many expansions, many plenary expansions, many incarnations of the Absolute Truth. But the original source, the fountainhead of all incarnations, is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Narayan has 60 qualities, but Krishna has 4 qualities that Narayan does not possess. And Lakshmi is endlessly attracted to Krishna because she wants, because she is attracted to those 4 qualities. He is Rasaraj. He has the most intimate, loving, sweet pastimes. And he plays his celebrated flute, which enchants and attracts all the world. He is Chitahari. He steals the minds of all living beings when he plays his flute. And the beauty of his form is the ultimate essence of all attraction. And the spontaneous love of his devotees is unparalleled even in the Vaikuntha planets. Therefore, Lakshmi Devi always desires the company of Krishna. Krishna attracts Lakshmi, but Narayan does not attract the gopis. This is the evidence. And then he told the story how during the spring Rasa-lila at Govardhan, Krishna was hiding from gopis. And gopis were searching for Krishna. So Krishna hid. How he hid? He manifested 4 arms. You can do? And gopis saw the majestic Vaikunthapati sitting before him, who they understood to be the Supreme Lord of all the universes. And they bowed down with reverence and asked, "Can you tell me, where is Krishna?" That was their only concern. Their exclusive attraction was for Krishna. And their love is unconditional, because they were not concerned that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They simply loved him because he was the object of all of their surrender. The fulfillment of all of their desires was simply to please him. In Vrindavan, to love God because he is God is considered conditional. Unconditional is to love him simply because he is who he is, the son of Nanda Maharaj, whose beauty, whose flute playing, whose wonderful pastimes, and his reciprocation of spontaneous affection with his devotees inundates everyone's hearts with oceans of transcendental ecstasy. Then Lord Chaitanya saw that Venkatabhata was completely bewildered. And he said, "Actually, Venkatabhata, there is no difference between Krishna and Narayan, and there is no difference between Lakshmi and gopis. And anyone who thinks there's a difference is committing an offense. They are all one, the one Supreme Person." Venkatabhata said to the Lord, "My Lord, I am just an ordinary human being. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By your mercy, now I understand that Krishna is the supreme worshipable personality of Godhead. And from this day on, I will exclusively worship Krishna in Vrindavan." Then he fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted him and embraced him. Little Gopal Bhatt, his son, he would do just menial services on his father's instruction. Such spontaneous love he had for Lord Chaitanya. He would massage his feet. He would clean up for him. He would do little menial chores. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with his simplicity, his innocence, and his love. One day, little Gopal Bhatt, who was hardly about 5 years old, he began to cry. He was thinking that, "Why am I seeing Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi with a shaved head and these saffron robes of renunciation? I long to see him as Navadvip Chandra, the enjoyer of Navadvip." He had a dream. In that dream, he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his beautiful, long, flowing hair, his golden garments, nice ornaments that Sachimata would put upon him. He was dancing in ecstasy with Nityananda, Advaita, Srivas, Gadadhar, Haridas, and all of his associates. Then he disappeared. Gopal Bhatt was crying. Then he ran to where Lord Chaitanya was sitting. And when he came before Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to him his eternal form of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shyam Sundar. Then he resumed his form of Lord Chaitanya and made Gopal Bhatta promise he would not speak to anyone what he had seen. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was told by Lord Chaitanya to remain and serve his parents, who were great devotees of the Lord, until the end of their lives. Lord Chaitanya, after the rainy season ended, he left that place. And the whole family was just weeping and crying in separation as he left. Sometime later, Lord Chaitanya, he had returned to Puri, and Venkata Bhatta and his good wife simultaneously, practically at the same time, they told Gopal Bhatta that you should go to Vrindavan on Lord Chaitanya's instruction. And then chanting the names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they gave up their bodies. Rupa and Sanatan, they wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya that Gopal Bhatta from South India, he has joined us. And now he is one of our brothers living here in Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so very, very happy. He sent many gifts. He sent a water pot, yes, and a sitting place, and his chadar as gifts for Gopal Bhatta Goswami, which are still there in Radharaman temple. He was worshipping the Shalagram Shilas. And on Lord Narasimhadev's appearance, he was praying that the other Goswamis, they all have beautiful deities. Radha Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, Gopinath, and some favorable personalities were given gifts of jewelries and crowns and clothes for the deities of the Goswamis. But he was thinking, with Shalagram Shila, it is so limited how I can worship you, how I can please you. My Lord, as you appeared from a stone pillar on this day, please manifest your beautiful form for me. The next morning he went to bathe in Jamuna, and when he came back from his Damodar Shila, grew the beautiful form of Shivadharaman. He called Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Das Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Gugarbha Goswami. When they saw the beauty of Radharaman, they actually, Rupa Goswami named him Radharaman, because he appeared in that place near Midudan, where Krishna's pleasing pastimes of giving pleasure to Sri Radharani are eternally enacted. And many things can be said. But one day, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Sri Radharamanji, and he started feeling guilt in his heart that actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is my Ishtadev. He is the one who has saved me. He is the one that my parents have told me to worship with my heart and soul throughout my life. Who am I to be worshipping the deity of Krishna? As he was weeping with this sentiment, worshipping Sri Radharaman, right before his eyes, the deity of Radharaman manifested the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, glanced upon him, and then again became Radharaman. And he knew for sure that there is no difference between worshipping Sri Radharaman and worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From this story, we can understand the greatness of Vrindavan. here Balaram, the unprecedented supremacy of the love of Vrindavan is proven to the world. That the goddess of fortune of Vaikuntha is sitting alone in this forest, longing to cross over the Jamuna to enter into the Rasleela. But because she cannot give up her identity as the all-opulent goddess of fortune, and she cannot follow the simple life of the gopis, she can only see it within her heart, but she cannot participate. In this regard, in Jagannath Puri, every year, there is the Hira Panchami. During this festival, Lord Jagannath comes out of Jagannath Mandir, goes on his Rath Yatra procession to Gundicha. Gundicha represents the forests of Vrindavan. He took permission from Lakshmi Devi before he left Jagannath Mandir, which in this leela represents Vaikuntha or Dwarka. So during this Hira Panchami festival, the goddess of fortune, with her maidservants, comes and punishes the servants of Jagannath because Jagannath is staying in Gundicha, in Vrindavan, without saying, giving any messages or any word to Lakshmi why he's not coming back to her. So as this wonderful festival is going on, they actually enacted in Puri. At the time of Mahaprabhu, it was very nicely done. Lakshmi is brought in a deity form on a chariot, and she's angry as anything. And her servants go to the attendants of Lord Jagannath, and they start beating him with sticks and tying him up with ropes. And he rolls. Why your Jagannath is left the goddess of fortune? While this was going on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Swarup Damodar Goswami about the rasas of Vrindavan. Swarup Damodar Goswami, in beautiful detail, explained the sweetness of the love of Sri Radharani for Lord Sri Krishna. The intimate nature of her love and how it manifests for the full supreme pleasure of Lord Sri Krishna. While he was explaining this, Srivas Pandit entered into the mood of Narada Muni to create controversy. He began to smile. Srivas Pandit said, "Just see how opulent my Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is. As far as Vrindavan is concerned, Vrindavan consists of a few twigs and flowers and minerals from the hills and some peacock feathers scattered around and a plant called Gunja. And your gopis, they boil milk, they churn their milk into butter. That's what they do. But my mistress, the goddess of fortune, she is sitting on a throne of jewels. The opulence, the wealth, the glory of Vaikuntha is unlimited. And what is Vrindavan? Some peacock feathers, some plants, some cows. What is it?" Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard Srivas speak, he began to smile. He said, "Dear Srivas, your nature is exactly like Narada Muni. The Lord's opulences have influenced you. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, he is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. Let us hear from him what is the opulence of Vrindavan. Swarup Damodar Goswami began to sing the glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham. He said, "Dear Srivas, you have forgotten the natural opulences of Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan is an ocean of unlimited opulences, whereas Dwarka and Vaikuntha, their opulences in comparison are not even a particle of one single drop. Krishna is the Suprema Personality of Godhead. He possesses all six opulences completely only in Vrindavan. The land of Vrindavan is all touchstone. The surface is jewels. Each grain of dust of Vrindavan is more precious than all the wealth and all the Vaikuntha planets. And the Chintamani stone decorates the feet of the maidservants of the gopis. The forest of Vrindavan consists of kalpavrikshas, desire trees, where all one's desires are fulfilled. The creepers from these kalpavrikshas are decorated with beautiful flowers and fresh fruits, and the inhabitants of Vrindavan want absolutely nothing else but the fruits from those trees. The cows of Vrindavan are kamadhenus. There are unlimited cows, and each cow can supply unlimited quantities of milk. In Vrindavan, the milk of the kamadhenu cows is sweeter than nectar, and the Brijavasis want nothing else. In Vrindavan, all the water is nectar. All the soil is Chintamani touchstone. All speech is song. All movement of every living being is dance. And the gopis, they surpass the supreme goddesses of fortune by millions and millions of times over. And everyone's constant companion is the beautiful sound of Lord Krishna's flute. This constitutes the opulence of Vrindavan." When Srivas Thakur heard this, he began to dance in ecstasy, uncontrollably dancing and dancing. He was slapping his hands on various parts of his body, making very, very wonderful noises. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Swarup Damodar Goswami describing the opulences of Vrindavan, all he could do is say, "Go on singing, go on singing." As Swarup Damodar Goswami was explaining the simple, sweet beauty of Vrindavan Dham, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance in ecstasy. He went into such a deep, unparalleled, unprecedented ecstasy in the mood of Srimati Radharani that he actually assumed the form of Srimati Radharani as he was dancing. Nityananda Prabhu, seeing the Lord in that ecstasy and form of Sri Radhika Rani, he kept a distance and simply offered his obeisances in great transcendental pleasure. This kirtan went on hour after hour after hour. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply could not stop as he continued to call upon Swarup Damodar Goswami with the words, "Go on singing, go on singing." After practically the entire day passed, kirtan could not stop. But at the same time, the devotees could not continue. It was Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Sri Radha just dancing alone. Then finally, Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped singing and said, "The devotees are exhausted. They're fatigued. They cannot move any longer, my Lord." Then the Lord came to his external senses and entered into a garden to take rest and prasad. So whenever I speak, everyone takes rest, and soon we will have prasad also. Bilvavan is a very beautiful, charming place. And the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Madhavendra Puri, the six Goswamis, they would all come here to remember, contemplate, and worship the supreme love of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And at this time, we will hear from our beloved Brijabasi, who has such deep knowledge and realization of the glories of Vrindavan. This Dinabandhu Prabhu, I think every particle of the body that you see is constituted of the dust of Vrindavan and the milk of the Kamadhenu cows.